Hello, everyone. Welcome here to the 5-Minute Major podcast of STL, presented by Across the Board. Yes, that's right. We are now partnered with Across the Board Handcrafted Unique Entertainment, which is a one-of-a-kind St. Louis-based company that creates some of the best games in the country. They have games ranging from horse racing to NASCAR, baseball to hockey. Across the Board provides quality entertainment for all ages. Here's one of their penny hockey games that we were able to partner with them on. So it has our logo, which is super cool. You can play this game at home. You can display it in your man cave. There's so many different potentials that you can do with these games. But you should check them out, guys.
We couldn't be happier to have Kim McDaniel and her company on as a sponsor or partner. Her and her husband started this company from their garage 17 years ago, and it's blossomed into something so cool and amazing. You will learn lots more about them. So please stay tuned and make sure to check their links in the description below to know more about the McDaniel story and Across the Board.
Welcome to episode 30 of the 5-Minute Major podcast of STL. I'm Josh and he's Mike. And in today's episode, we'll break down the latest St. Louis Blues games and share some news from around the league. Plus, we have a special treat for you guys, an exclusive interview with Jeremy Boyer, who's given us the behind-the-scenes insight into his 18-year journey as the organist of St. Louis sports. How you doing, Mikey? How you feeling?
I'm doing great. Super excited to show you guys our interview with Jeremy. It was about 20 minutes. Busy day. It was a Monday, so it is what it is. But we had a great conversation. Super nice guy. Genuine. Great stories. And just a great story about him too.
Yeah.
I want to apologize about the late episode. Mother Nature decided to just blow everything away in St. Louis, and Arnold and all of them, hopefully everyone's safe, and everyone's got power back, because it was crazy.
Yeah.
And but luckily the internet came back yesterday and we're able to record today. It's late. Josh had work today. I had work today. We're still happy to be here talking about hockey, yeah, baby.
You know, hey, we're grinding it out. Until you guys decide to make this mainstream around the world here and get us thousands of streams weekly, we will still be working full-time jobs. So share, like, and follow, and help us out, folks.
Make us famous.
Yeah. Help us get famous here. But that being said, Mikey, let's get into some NHL news. What do you got?
Yeah. Landeskog. This guy, man, what has it been 3 years? He's been nursing this knee thing for 3 years. The last time he's played a game was in the Stanley Cup final when he lifted the Stanley Cup for the Avalanche, and he's officially doing like full speed line drills. Really dangerous player if he can stay healthy, and just the morale of having your captain back on the ice has to be like, it has to elevate you, you know? Like, I can't imagine how fast McKinnon's going to be playing when Landeskog's out there. Like, they might be a problem.
He's so dynamic. And, you know, as a rivalry, you dislike a lot of guys on some other teams, but Landeskog is just so fun to watch.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sucked not being able to see him these last couple of years. And that just shows you how quickly some of these players can be affected by an injury. Your top of your game and then a knee injury and then you're derailed for 3 years.
Right.
So happy to see him back. It'll be an interesting time. Hopefully he's happy and healthy and back for the playoff run for the Avs.
Yep. Yep. Agreed there. Next news is the Blues beat the Ducks, which officially eliminated the Sharks from playoff contention.
Way to be a terrible hockey team.
So they are probably going to get the first pick of the draft, which that team's kind of looking like they might be all right.
I'm okay if they get it in 5 years. Macklin Celebrini doesn't. Or not Macklin Celebrini, that Chicago doesn't. Like, I'm tired of Chicago getting first round picks. Give it to San Jose. Make them competitive again.
Yeah, I really did enjoy the Blue Sharks rivalry in the 2010s. Great. You know, it was great. Yeah. Still hate Jumbo Joe, you know?
Yeah, I don't.
What sucks for the Sharks is Coach Scherr's been like also kind of on a Landeskog injury.
Yeah.
Like, talk about played in like a year or two.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. So he's one of those like B superstars.
These guys are like Ryan Kessler.
Yeah.
Who was
top of his game, and then knee and hip injuries, and then he just vanished off the face of the earth and then was gone.
Yeah, it's almost like Ben Bishop too. Like,
yeah,
super solid goalie. Could have been a Stanley Cup champion in Dallas if it wasn't for the Blues. And then he comes down with the knee thing as well. Like,
yeah,
it sucks. Hockey's a brutal sport, but it's the best sport, right?
Yeah.
All right, mention the next.
All right, so the Sens, you know, much love to them. Brady Tkachuk, we love you. Six-game win streak, which is huge for them. And then the Canes, who are my second favorite team. Carolina with a 7-game win streak. And seems like they're doing pretty well without Mikko Rantanen. So go Canes.
I know. The one TikTok that blew up for us was, it blew up. There's like 2,500 people viewed it. But like, it had a bunch of comments, these Canes fans just being really upset.
Yeah.
And the funny thing was, we mentioned, you know, Gensel left. They couldn't sign him. Rantanen comes and leaves. He doesn't want to play there at all. And yeah, that night we posted it, Gensel had a hat trick for Tampa Bay. I'm like, oh, man. I feel bad. Whatever. I feel bad.
But it, also, if you're Carolina, you are ranked as some of the worst facilities.
Yeah.
And, like, come on, guys. Like, you know you're making a profit. You know you got a good fan base. Like, there's no reason to have the worst facilities in the NHL right now.
Yeah. I don't know any news if they're upgrading them or not. I mean, people love to play there and for the team. They, like, the opponents hate it there.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, their home locker room just isn't good, supposedly. Like,
which, hey, you did put up today on Instagram the best ownership group. So shout out to Tom Stillman being ranked as one of the best ownership groups.
Yep. So. Yep. We're up there with like Vegas and Dallas and Tampa Bay. So
yeah, that's a shout out. Good company.
I know. I saw that and I'm like, honestly, I'm not surprised.
No.
I'm biased, but I'm not surprised. Like,
but also, we've had so many interactions with Tom Stillman in the public where he just wanted to talk and chat and just a pleasant guy.
Genuine.
He's a man of the people and a man of St. Louis. And to us, that's all that matters.
Exactly. Yeah. I think people just hate to hate, you know, as we like to say. All right. Last one before we get into the interview with Jeremy. Another Colorado news piece. MacKinnon got 1,000 points. Honestly, I think he's playing way better than anybody else right now. Yes. I think he's the best player in the world right now.
Yeah, 100%. I was going to say, I think the debate on who's the best, I think MacKinnon truly is the best player, and then McDavid's probably number two.
He is number two. Even Dreisaitl's up there, too.
Dreisaitl's up there, too.
Yeah, he's on like a crazy goal streak. But McDavid, you know, he got the suspension, and then I think he got injured, too. He's been kind of all over the place this year. So he hasn't really caught the fire he usually does. MacKinnon is just on another planet right now, dude. Yeah. So it's scary. I hate that Colorado bulked up and they have decent enough goaltending as they always find somehow. And then they're going to do their thing in the playoffs, man. They're scary. Yeah, they're scary.
They're going to be good. And it helps when you have a Cale Makar. Like, a Devontae Taves and Cale Makar. It's just not her. But
I think Devontae Taves might be overrated, but then I watch him and I'm like, God, even if Cale wasn't there, he'd still be.
And
really,
he was
really
traded
solid
from the Islanders for a bag of pucks. Good Lord.
That's one of Lou's worst trades, I have to say. Yeah, 100%. And now he's out there with Brock Nelson.
There's a long list of bad trades that Lou has.
He got Scott Perunovich, though.
Yeah, that's true. And he's a healthy scratch.
Poor guy.
Speaking of some updates, it is Tuesday, so the Calgary Flames are playing Toronto currently. Or at least Toronto came to play, and Calgary is just skating around. The Maple Leafs are winning 6-2 right now, which is huge for the playoff race. And it'll be even better because they play tomorrow. The Blues are also back in action tomorrow against Nashville. So there is a lot of opportunity to solidify ourselves in that wild card number two tomorrow.
Yeah. Yes. 100%.
And then Vancouver at the end of the week on Thursday.
I will be at that game with my father. It is literally the biggest game of the year, no matter what.
Yes.
If we win or lose, like, I think it makes or breaks it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be nervous.
All right. But that being said, Jeremy Boyer, what a guy. So happy to have him on.
Mm-hmm.
Wealth of knowledge, has been around for a long period of time, and just an all around St. Louis sports guy. And it was super excited to have him on, and we were able to talk about a lot of good stories and learn about who he is as a person and who is behind some of the best organ playing in the NHL, in my opinion.
100%. All right, let's go to it. Enjoy the interview, everyone.
Enjoy the interview, folks. Hello, Blues fans, and welcome in to our interview that we have been talking about leading up to this week. We have Mr. Jeremy Boyer here from the St. Louis Blues. He plays the organ at the good old arena and brings the music that us Blues fans love. And I personally look forward to every single game. So how you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys?
We're good. We're good. Happy to have you on, and thank you so much for taking some time to come on with us.
Hey, no problem.
But I'll let Mike kind of start with some questions, and we'll kind of go from there.
Okay.
Hey, Jeremy. I know you're from Potosi, Missouri. Are you a lifelong Blues fan? How did you kind of come into your fandom with St. Louis sports as a whole? And was that kind of an inspiration for you to be involved musically with your talents?
I mean, yeah. Yes and no. I mean, I started out, there's not a whole lot of ice hockey opportunities in Potosi, so I didn't play much as a kid. But played a lot of baseball and sports, of course, and I think it was probably about the time most St. Louisans at that time became big Blues fans that were my age, or whenever, you know, Brett Hull became a Blue, came over from Calgary, and you know, I started watching it with my brother. This has been like, what, 86, 87?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. So I was still pretty young. I was 6 or 7 years old, and started watching the team quite a bit, and, you know, got hooked on it, of course. It was a fun game, and I've been a fan ever since. So ever since I was a little kid, for sure. And and that definitely played a role in it, you know, listening to Ernie Hayes tickle the ivories at Blues and Cardinals games back in the day. And, you know, I was passionate about music and sports, so it was just a nice fit.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think our big question is, how did you get this role with the Blues? Like, how did this all come about for you?
So I played at Southeast Missouri State, SEMO, did baseball and basketball games, organ there. And, a classmate of mine was an intern at the Memphis Redbirds, which is kind of cool, 'cause I'm going to actually be playing there in a couple of weeks.
That's awesome.
For the first time in quite a while for the Cardinals and Redbirds game. But, so they called, they're like, hey, would you be interested in coming to Memphis? So yeah, come down there. Went, did my first professional gig, you know, doing pro baseball. And I had some stuff on YouTube, and I think the Blues had seen that, and they were looking for an organist, and I think they knew about my connection with Ernie Hayes as well, and gave me a call, and they're like, hey, would you be interested in coming up, auditioning, and talking to us about the position? I'm like, sure, that'd be great. You know, I'm a huge Blues fan. That was awesome. So came up and auditioned, sat in on a few games, gave them my thoughts. They liked what they heard, I liked what I heard, and it all worked out, and here I am 18 seasons later and still doing it.
Amazing.
That's amazing. And
yeah.
It's crazy how it all works out, where it's, you know, just getting that opportunity, and, you know, look where you are now. 18 seasons is insane.
Yeah.
And you've seen good hockey, bad hockey, and some crazy playoff runs in your time in that 18-year gap. So I cannot imagine.
Yeah, and we've been fortunate. We haven't had a whole lot of bad hockey here.
No.
You know, really the only time that it's really been bad, per se, was like really my first couple of seasons, that like 2007 season when you came out of the lockout still, kind of, and, you know, it was the Come Grow With Us Blues, and they were still very young, and but then the next year we surprisingly made the playoffs against Vancouver. I mean, we got swept by Vancouver in the first round, but we made the playoffs in the first, you know, that year for our first time in a while, so.
Yeah,
that was cool. And we haven't really had bad seasons, so.
That's true. I think as a whole, I think a lot of Blues fans, especially the younger generations, really take for granted the hockey we've had. Because I think for us, like, we really haven't experienced a whole lot of bad hockey. It's the people that were in the the very beginning stages, yes, we made those playoff runs early on, but that middle time frame, you're just like, oh man, we are really an expansion team right now. But yeah. Modern day Blues, I mean, we've been lucky, and a lot of great faces that have come through this town and played.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned how you kind of gave your thoughts when you sat in during some games. How is your creative process like during the game? Do you have certain moments where you pick and choose what songs you're going to play, kind of feel how the crowd is going? How do you improvise?
So I do my homework. Mm-hmm. And, you know, before each game, I prep for each game and kind of come in with an idea like, hey, this is, you know, if everything goes the way it should, you know, or the way I think it might, then this is what I'd kind of like to do, you know, and it varies. It could be like, you know, depending on who the opponent is, what city they're from, what day of the week, how the team's doing, you know, it could be something even like world events that are happening right now. Like, let's kind of take something from this and make something fun of this that everybody could kind of buy into, that everybody in the crowd's going to know about.
Yeah.
So, you know, different places I draw inspiration from, but once you get started, you really don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, anything could happen.
Yeah.
You go there every night and you might see something you've never seen before. And that's happened. I mean, there's been games where this is my 18th season. I'm like, what the heck was that? You know, like, I've never seen that before. So, you know, you never know. So you got to be on your toes, and I'm ready for those opportunities as well. But, you know, you come in with like a game plan and then you go from there. And it's probably the same with the team. You know, the coach comes in, draws it up, but you know, if something's not working right, you got to change and do something different. So I kind of do the same thing.
Yeah. I think that's underrated, is adaptability just in any sport or profession. Like, it's such a big part of how you succeed, and you've definitely done that.
Thank you.
For sure.
Yeah. That's, I think that's always been the one thing growing up is like, I feel for me, the atmosphere that you've brought at least has always been a cool factor. And especially like that sound is something that's just so sentimental, I guess, to me growing up. And that's Blues games and Cardinals games, and kind of jumping off some of our other questions, but like the atmosphere between like a Blues game and a baseball game and the different games, which one's kind of been your favorite? And I mean, it could be hockey, it could not be baseball, but which one do you kind of like the best?
Well, before I get into that, something that, you know, you bring up the organ music at games, and like, even just that, like, it's what gives each city its character, I think. Mm-hmm. It's what gives each building its character.
Yeah.
If you really break it down. Like, you know, if you go to Detroit and they're playing Metallica, it's going to sound like Metallica in every building in the league. It's going to be that organist in Detroit that's going to have his own thing. Or the organist in New York's going to have his own thing. Or, you know, the different places like that. That's where you kind of get some of that flavor and color. And maybe it's not as prominent as it was, you know, when Ernie was playing, but it's still there. And like, you start listening and you start picking up on things the more you watch hockey and the more you watch baseball, and you're like, well, this game's being played in St. Louis, that's when the Blues go marching in, or that's mm-hmm. here comes the King, or let's go Blues chants, you know, you just know. And going into which one's my favorite, it's honestly, like, I'm not like BSing you at all, it's like it's one, what do you want to call it, a half dozen and one, and you know,
yeah,
six and the other, whatever. It's, you know, Blues, I get a little bit longer time to play during breaks, you know, so I can play a little more of a song, like 30 seconds, sometimes mm-hmm. a minute even before a puck drops. So I get to play a little bit more of a song. And then the Cardinals, I like that I get to play more often. I can play literally after every pitch at baseball. So I'm more involved throughout the game than I am at hockey. But so it's, you know, but I don't have as long to do it either, especially now in the era of the pitch clock. You know, you got to kind of get in and get out. So, you know, sometimes you get lucky with the foul ball, you can get a few extra seconds. But so it's, you know, I like both, and they both have their pluses, I think.
Yeah, I think that's cool. And I think it just, like you talked about it, it's the identity of the towns. And I like how you said that, because I think here our like main fundamental idea of our podcast was representing St. Louis, because we're both born and raised from here. And it's, St. Louis is such an important factor to us. And I think that atmosphere factor is really cool. And I love that you were able to hint on that, because like I said, it's that just the couple keys just to start a Blues game, you know what's happening.
Yeah.
And it just, the excitement builds. And I think that's been the coolest part. And I think that's why we were super excited to get you on, because it was like, we're putting a face and everything to
the excitement and what you bring to the game. And it's just hard for me to put into words because I love it. I can't say it enough. I love it. And that's why I love games, because you bring this atmosphere I've been to games in Nashville. I've been to games other, and it's just not the same. And maybe it's biased because I'm a Blues fan, but I just feel like the way you control the game is just hard to compete against.
Thanks. And that's, you know, something that takes a lot of work, and it takes experience doing that and kind of knowing your situations, but knowing the game as well. You can't just be a good musician. You have to know the game well too, and come in and know what the situation is and, you know, those kinds of things, and put all that together to make it work.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned, you know, a little bit how it could be challenging. You put in the work, right? Can you tell us a couple of those challenges that maybe stand prominent to you, you know, going through the 18 years you've had? I don't even know how to bring up an example. Do you have anything that kind of stands out that you could maybe give our viewers some advice?
So for me, I think my biggest thing is just trying to kind of always keep learning, always keep doing new things, not just doing the same stuff. You know, and I'm not like trying to hate on popular music today, because I do like a lot of popular music today, but like there's not as much melody driven music today. Yeah. Like there's a lot of stuff where it's like they're just kind of, they're not rapping, but they're talking. It's not really a melody like you'd have with some music. So it's finding something to latch on to for the organ, because if I just go, it's, you know, nobody's going to realize what I'm playing. So it's like, it's finding a hook. It's finding something that's melodic that can, you know, transfer, that somebody's going to recognize. Like, you know, I play Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar's really hot right now. He did the Super Bowl. So, you know, it's finding something from Kendrick Lamar that's going to be recognizable, that fans are going to still catch. And they're like, that dude just played Kendrick Lamar on the organ. You know, it's like, so I love doing that kind of stuff, but it's challenging and you got to learn it. You know, you got to do some different things, but you know, I've got three girls. I got 12, 21, and 22, and they've kept me pretty young with music, and they'll be listening to something and I'll be like, hey, what was that song? And they'll tell me, I'm like, I'm going to find that and I'm going to learn that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. And I think that's a test to how skilled and well-crafted you are with your ability to stay with the times, but also stay to the roots. And I think that's, for many blues fans, I think that's where we are. And that's a big thing for us is, yes, advancing with the times, but also remembering where we came from. That's a very St. Louis tradition right there.
Yeah. And St. Louis is you know, it's not like Phoenix, you know, when the Coyotes were down there. I know there's people who live down there that are like, nobody's from Phoenix. They're all from Chicago, or they're from LA, or they're from wherever. It's a transient city. And St. Louis isn't like that as much. It's generational. I mean, this is like, you know, I'm going to the games because my dad took me to games, because his dad took him to games, because his dad took him to games, you know, and it's something that's passed down and it's cool. And I mean, there are new people who come to town, but you know, there's a lot of generational Blues fans who have been here since 67.
Yep.
Or Cardinals fans who have been going to games, whose great grandparents took them to games in the 40s and 60s, you know? Yep. And so there is some of that there too, you know? So it's carrying over, and it's that stuff you learned, you bonded with your grandparents or your mom and dad or whoever, but then also putting in some new stuff that is more your era and your time too.
Yeah. Kind of going on with that, I know there's been a lot of specific moments and games and different events over your 18 seasons. What are some of your most memorable moments you've had over this course of with the Blues? And what, I mean, I'm assuming the Stanley Cup run has to be up there, but I'm sure you've had a lot of other cool moments throughout the time.
Yeah. One of the underrated fun things for me, like in a regular season game that like maybe is just kind of a surprise, but something maybe you know, isn't like as obvious as the Stanley Cup, Barry Jackman center ice goal. The Jack shot there. That was crazy. We're all like, what just happened? He shot that from the red line and it went in. Like, hey, you never see that. That was cool. I think David Perron's first hat trick comes to mind. I think it was against Luongo in Vancouver back in the day. That was, I think my first hat trick to get to play for. And, you know, this is before we had the Urge song after when the Blues Go Marching In, and I'm playing it and it's like, we're cranking it out. And we wrapped it around two or three times and then going to Here Comes the King, and everybody's just like on their feet clapping. And somebody posted a video of it on YouTube somewhere and I've seen it. And it's just cool to hear the building shake, you know, everybody cheering on Perron and the Blues. And then you have all the playoff games, the Steen triple overtime goal. One of them, I think. Didn't he have two overtime or double overtime goals?
Yeah, yeah. He had a couple on that glorious run. He's one of those guys that still to this day I wish he was on the ice every night, because it was – I don't think we realized what we were watching until it was gone with a lot of our players we've had, like the Prongers and the McInneses and the Brett Holes. Like, I don't think Blues fans truly – recognize and understand how awesome St. Louis has been, and even when Wayne Gretzky was playing here, like you had a stretch run where we just had players that we've had a lot of all-stars come through here, and it's
Hall of Famer.
Something, yeah, Hall of Famers, all-stars, just world-class players that loved it and have stuck around. I think that's the cool part about the Blues community. And my other question is, do you get much interaction with the team since you're there, kind of in and out? I mean, you're there constantly, and it keeps you busy, I have no doubt, being at every game.
I see guys, I don't really bother them too much. Usually it's before the game, and, like, you know, they got their job to do, and I don't know if they're as superstitious as, like, a pitcher is before he pitches or whatever, where they don't want to be talked to before they start, but, you know, I give them a little head nod or say hi, and that's pretty much it. I don't want to be that guy, so I don't bother them too much. I do see the alumni a little bit more often, and I will talk to them some, which is pretty cool for me, you know, as a guy who grew up watching the Blues. You know, it's like, you know, we had Martin Brodeur here for a while in the front office, and you see Al McInnes almost every night. Chris Pronger's here a lot. Like you mentioned Wayne Gretzky, that's probably my coolest moment, I think, ever. It was maybe my second season or third season. He's still coaching the Phoenix/Arizona Coyotes. And I see him come in through the security entrance, like, get out of a cab. I'm like, oh my God, that's Wayne Gretzky right there. That's the Babe Ruth of hockey. And like I said, I don't ever bother anybody, but I'm like, you know what? If I get fired for this, this is, like, worth it. So, like, I wait in the security. You come through security, and I'm like, I'm going to get a picture with Wayne. And he comes through. I'm like, Mr. Gretzky, you know, I'm a huge fan. I'm the organist. Can I get a picture with you? And he's like, yeah, sure. I hand this kid my camera. I have a digital camera. It's still, like, before phones were really super technologically advanced. Concession stand worker, probably 18, 19 years old. And he's like, I'm like, hey, man, will you take our picture together? He's like, yeah, but you gotta tell me who this is. I'm like, are you kidding me? And Gretzky goes, hey, I'm Brett Hull, nice to meet you. Never told him who he was. The kid's like, okay, cool.
Oh my God.
And I have that picture. It's one of my favorite pictures in my 18 seasons with Gretzky, and that was super awesome.
Yeah, I have no doubt. That's awesome. Like, and just the opportunities, I'm sure that you've just gotten to meet a lot of people that I think a lot of Blues fans would dream to have the opportunity. And Wayne Gretzky is definitely on my bucket list of players I would love to meet someday.
Yeah. Fortunately, he's in St. Louis a lot, so you might have a chance.
Yeah, that's the goal is still to meet him at some point.
the fact that he did that, because I know Holy was like a big, you know, he had a big mouth, and he pulled some pranks too. So for Gretzky to do that is funny. Yeah. Oh man. I think maybe one or two more questions for you. We wanted to ask how you feel about this season. I know, Josh and I, before we started recording this, we were mentioning how Binnington and even Cam Fowler were mentioning how they feel like it's a family right now. Like, they're playing for each other. We love to hear that as fans. What do you think? How do you think it's going to go? You know, it's kind of crunch time right now. So,
yeah. And they kind of dug themselves a hole early on, and it's hard for them to, I think at this point, to pull out of it. I mean, there's still a chance to do it, but you know, you'd like to have seen them, if they played this early in the season, as well as they're playing now, they'd be locked for a playoff spot. So
yeah,
I think that's, you know, and you want to see them in the season. Well, you don't want to see them. I think you'd rather, if they're going to have a slow spot, you'd rather be in, you know, you'd want to make it the playoffs, but you want to see them getting better. And, you know, maybe that's coming with, you know, Jim Montgomery taking over, and he's finally starting to really assert his way of doing things, and the Blues are catching on and buying on. And I like the Joe Boo in the locker. That's, you know, you always have those kind of cool things with a special team. And, you know, and I think that's a good sign to have that kind of looseness in the clubhouse. And, you know, Bennington's a stud, of course. And,
oh yeah.
You know, so they're starting to gel a little bit, and, you know, we'll hopefully that's good things and good signs for next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. We agree with you. It's just one of those things, right? You find it late, you never know. And
yeah,
at least it's fun to watch. Like,
yeah, it's been entertaining. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Josh, I don't know if you have one more. I have another one.
Yeah.
A quick one, though.
Yeah, you can hit them with that quick one.
Do you have your Stanley Cup ring on you?
I've got it. I don't have it on my hand, but I could grab it probably real quick.
If you can.
If you can, that'd be super cool.
I'd really love to see it.
Yeah, I would love to see it.
Hang on.
Oh, this is awesome.
All right. I'll see how well you can see it here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's amazing.
Oh, man.
Focusing on it or not, but yeah, pretty awesome. It's got my name there on the side.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Boyer. I do think it's cool on the other side with the arch.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't know how well you can see it. You can look it up online, though, but it's got the music going through it, and that's when the Blues go marching in, which is, you know.
That's cool. Awesome.
Pretty awesome. And then I have my Cardinals 2013 ring. Oh, not as fancy, but you know, hey.
Hey.
Can't complain. It's got my name on the side of it there, too.
That's awesome.
You can tell, but size comparison-wise, how big the Blues ring is.
You're going to win your first one. You got to go all out on it.
Yeah. Yeah, for but sure. Man. Especially with this franchise, you know, waiting so long and finally getting over that hump, man, getting that first one is, you know, something that I'll, you know, get to share with my grandkids one day. And
yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Amazing.
Well, that is so cool. We cannot thank you enough for coming on with us. We do appreciate it. And we hope to have you on again at some point, too. And good luck with the rest of the Blue season. And hopefully we're keeping you busy through the playoffs. And then we'll run you right into the baseball season. So thank you so much. You're going to be nice and busy here in the next couple weeks to months. So
can't beat it, though, can you?
No. If you're getting to do a living where you're playing music and loving what you do and get to watch sports while you do it, I think you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah,
of course.
Thank you so much, Jeremy. We appreciate you.
No problem. I'll see you later.
See ya. Yeah.
What an interview. Honestly, Jeremy, thank you again.
We cannot thank you
enough. Round of applause to you.
It was great. We appreciate you so much.
Yeah.
And we hope to have you back on. And we hope to see you around the Blues games and at the Cardinals games this summer.
Yeah. Yeah. He's about to get doubled up. If the Blues make the playoffs, he's going to be a really busy guy. So
don't you worry. We're going to make sure you're busy, Mr. Boyer. We are going to be in the playoffs.
I hope so, man. I'm so
really
excited.
Do. It's an emotional roller coaster of a season, man. But it's just.
It's more fun than last year. It's way more fun.
Oh, my gosh.
Last year, we were winning enough games for me to be like, we're in, you know, but our goaltending was carrying. Now it's like the whole team is just lights out.
There's an atmosphere in that locker room from their head coach, and everyone knows that they're doing amazing things right now.
Yeah.
Also Edmonton in our weekly, how you guys screwed up segment, Dylan Holloway. We're about to surpass 50 points, I'm pretty sure, there. I think he's got 51, which makes him third on the Blues. Yeah, I feel like you probably could use that right now in Edmonton, boys. You know, you wanted a fast-skating forward that could play a two-way game, and you needed a defenseman with puck-moving abilities. Thank goodness you got Jake Walman, though. So,
I mean, if you're going to get anybody, it might be Jake Walman.
That's true.
I can't, before we get into the Blues games, I can't express enough how amazing it is to watch Philip Broberg skate.
Oh my gosh. It's so fluid.
He's one of the best skaters I've ever seen. Period. I can't even think of anybody right now. So good. Holloway has turned into a 1T specialist. Yeah. He plays crazy gritty on the forecheck. Strong on pucks with his stick. And he's also playing with two of the most like Blues players on the team. You know, like Kyrou's truly becoming a St. Louis Blue, and Braden Schenn is for sure the most St. Louis Blue player on the team. So he's kind of feeding off that. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I can't even if we don't make the playoffs, Doug Armstrong gets an A because he's about to sign these two guys long-term and keep them here.
And I'm interested.
The core is going to be crazy.
Yeah, the core is just getting better.
And I think there's going to be some tough decisions on prospects and who's going to stick.
Yeah.
I still believe we need another top four defenseman, in my opinion.
I agree. Well, you got to get younger.
Yeah.
At least.
Noah Dobson, baby.
I agree.
Or we go out and offer sheet Matthew Knives in the offseason.
That'd be so Jews funny if we offer sheet
violence, folks. Here we go.
I hope GMs start doing it more.
Oh, like, I know. Which
just mix it up.
One of those things. You can offer sheet a Noah Dobson. You can offer sheet a Matthew Knives. There's some options in Dallas that they're going to be out there. So, like, I am just sitting here going,
Yeah.
Well, we might not be able to get them in a trade, but let's go offer sheet and see what we can do.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. But, all right, let's get into the most recent games leading up to Tuesday night's game in Nashville. The Blues had a long break after their OTL against the Kings. They waited 4 days to get to Pittsburgh, and they didn't show up to Pittsburgh.
They showed up in the first period.
Maybe half the team showed up.
Yeah. Jordan Binnington did not.
He didn't. It was probably his worst game of the year in a game that we were truly. If we would have won that game, I mean, we're in the wild card spot. We're up 2 points, like crazy swing. And unfortunately we lose 5-3. He gets pulled after what was it? 3 goals? No, he gets pulled after 4.
After the first period. No, he went the first and second period, and they put
Hofer in the last Hofer period. He didn't let in a single goal. Binnington lets in 4. We're like neck and neck. Our forwards are playing great. Defense is playing all right. We outshot the heck out of them. Torpchenko finally scored. Bull Duke and Holloway score. Two players who are just unreal right now.
Also, can we just take a moment? Bull Duke, my gosh. He has discovered how to be an NHL player right now, and I love it. And everyone, it doesn't have to be on the first line. He is still playing on the third line and scoring goals.
Yeah.
And is on the power play.
I give props to Sonny and Joseph.
Yes.
Big props to them. They have turned it on.
Also,
Sonny turned the clock back. Like, props he's back.
To Claude Julien, who apparently was just every day doing video with Bull Duke. Literally was just like a one-on-one every day. This is what we're going to do until we get you there. And it's working.
Yeah. You know, that's such an underrated hire.
Oh my gosh.
It's unbelievable.
And I hope he's back next year.
He should be.
But it does make you wonder with some of these teams who have underperformed if he's a head coach next year and somewhere.
I mean, if he's going to get the opportunity, it's up to him. But
he'll be a Hockey Hall of Fame coach either way.
Like, oh, yeah.
He will be in the Hockey Hall of Fame one way or another.
I think so, too. Anyway, yeah, we lose 5-3 in Pittsburgh. Shouldn't lose that game ever.
Yeah. But don't worry. We go to Minnesota and we remember how to play hockey again.
Yeah, so 2 days later we travel to Minnesota. And going into this game, Jordan Kyrou has always killed the Wild. It's amazing to watch. He came out and he just dominated them.
Yeah.
Had one of the slickest goals I've seen him make. That's just an NHL superstar goal. Makes a nice flip pass to himself, outskates the defenseman, wrap around, easy goal. I am in jaw dropping all. Yeah. Awesome. Great goal. He got a hat trick. So he's for sure a Wild killer, officially. Yeah. And then also Shen and Neighbors scored. Shen kind of like sneakily on a crazy point streak, I think. Like,
yeah, Shen is doing everything you need him to be doing right now, and it's great. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'll get more in depth with how much I love him after the next game. so we come back from the Pittsburgh loss, we bounce back, win big in Minnesota 5-1. And then we come home and we face Anaheim, which, again, is a must-win game. Like,
yes.
Going into this, I think we were 2 points out because Vancouver had won. And we come into this, it's a must-win game. Got a tie for the wild card spot. We come out after the Shen 1000th game celebration, and we score like 20 seconds into the game, and it's Braden Chet.
Yeah.
So the team is on fire after that. And then it was bang, 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 bang. We just dominated them.
Yeah. You got goals from Shen, Neighbors, Sonny, Joseph with a beautiful shorty, Holloway with another beauty, a great play from Holloway to Bucci, or Neighbors to Bucci, and then Foxa. Fourth line had one of their best games, I think, in this game against the Ducks, in my opinion.
Yes.
And the other guy that we didn't score a goal, Kyra had three assists in this game. And he did take a dirty hit, in my opinion, from Jacob Trouba.
Oh, 100%. That was dirty.
It was so dirty. And Braden Chen answered the call and went and fought him. But just overall, great game. Poor Ville Husso, rocking the Detroit Red Wings face mask still. Yeah. Came in relief in that game because Gibson's hurt. Good Lord. It was just fun to watch.
Yeah.
It was exciting and electric.
Pure dominance. The Ducks did not come to play. They looked brutal.
Mason McTavish looks like he's going to lose his mind.
Yeah, he might be an interesting person.
Offer sheet that guy, man.
God, I don't know. He's a young guy. He looks like a Detroit player to me. But Yzerman's not smart enough.
No, the Yzerman plan is about to be kaputs.
Yeah, 100%.
But I think after these games, though, you got to look at some of the point totals for the Blues and goals. Kyrie's going to reach 30 goals. Yeah. And I truly believe Dylan Holloway is going to also reach 30 goals this season. He's sitting at 22 right now.
Yeah.
And I would not be surprised if Jake Neighbors hits 25. He's at 18. It's a little bit of a reach, but I feel like he's got some potential. At least 20. I think you're going to have 230 goal scorers and at least Neighbors hitting 20, Thomas hit 20, and Shen get 20. Which, if you're the Blues, that's pretty solid.
Yeah.
And you can't be mad about it.
No. I mentioned Braden Shen being a sneaky great player months ago.
Yes.
And I genuinely couldn't believe the upheaval by people to trade him and being upset when we didn't because of his age and his contract being bad. This guy has done everything in his power to be the best captain and contribute any way on the ice and off the ice. I you can't just trade your heart and soul away and expect to like just pick it back up and be good enough to either make it or like go into the off season with any sort of plan. Like you're not building around the captain anymore. Like really weird idea. But anyways, Shen's having just a phenomenal hockey year. He's going to score 20 again. Like I don't know how many seasons that is in his career, but he genuinely might be a Blues Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Genuinely might be one of the better players we've had in a long time. I'm not going to lie. But yeah, that just had to praise him a little bit. Jordan Kyrou, 6 points in two days.
Yeah.
Under 48 hours. He had 6 points, leads the team in points, is a plus 13. So can't talk anything on him right now either. He's been great. He is one of four Blues players to score 6 points in 2 games or 2 days. I think it's Petro, Perron, and Boys, which is hilarious.
Brad Boys, baby.
Hilarious group of people, but yeah. Everything's going right now, buddy. I can't do anything but expect wins.
Yeah.
The way you play hockey right now. Yeah. Under the Jim Montgomery way of things is just incredible. Everyone's bought in, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. When this episode comes out in the morning, we will be preparing to play Nashville in Nashville.
Yep.
almost positive Calgary would have lost by now. So
they did. They 6-2
Lost. Huge win from Berube in the Maple Leafs.
Thank Berube.
All right. So big win in Nashville, hopefully tonight. And then we'll go in and we got to beat Vancouver on Thursday, baby. And then it's really game time. So here we go, Blues fans.
But that being said, before we wrap it up, guys, I just got to bring it back in here because I love this so much.
Yes.
The across the board penny hockey game, guys. I cannot tell you how much I love this thing. It is phenomenal. It can be a great game. It can be a great display piece. My family's starting to pick up a couple of these with some cool custom logos of our logo, which is pretty awesome. But let me tell you, Kim over at Across the Board is one of a kind. And if you guys are looking for some games or some Kentucky Derby games, some hockey games, please reach out to them. They are a local St. Louis company that is family oriented, and we love and support them so much. So from our hearts, thank you to Across the Board, and check them out, guys. It's a great company and we love them so much.
Yes, we will have their website in the description, so be sure to check it out. All right, episode 30 wrapped. 30 of these things, buddy. Let's keep it going.
I love it. We the dream of us just making sure we are keeping in touch and talking hockey has grown so much, and yeah, it's been great. But as always, I love doing this with you, Mikey, and Blues fans. Let's go Blues, guys.
Let's go Blues, baby. Come on.